Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. This is Friday, and this is the day we do Mythbusters, and co-host is Chris Rossini. And I understand we might be talking about health care today. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning, Dr. Paul. Yes, we're going to discuss government is once again stumbling through a health crisis of its own making. So we're going to cover a lot on that topic. We'll start with a major myth. And during this last presidential campaign, many people have been seduced by the idea that healthcare is actually a right. Please talk about that, Dr. Paul. Can one person have a right to another person's labor?
Well, you know, you picked the first question to be the most important question, because I think from this assumption that everybody has a right to free medical care or some type of medical care is the reason that we've had a terrible medical delivery system for a good many years. It hasn't been just under Obamacare. It's gone back and it keeps creeping along. It was Obamacare just made things much worse. But it's based on the assumption that people have a right to medical care. But you don't have a right to any stuff, because if it comes from somebody, that you have to take it from somebody else. But no, most people think, if you have a right to medical care, the government will give it to me. And they never ask the question, where does government get it? Well, it's usually taken away from the middle class and the poor people through, future debt and future inflation and all the problems of unemployment that causes all this thing. But the basic assumption that you have a right to get something from somebody else means you have to endorse the concept of theft. So the strict interpretation of a right, and it's something that we get in a natural way, natural rights, they don't come from the government. If you assume that the government can provide this right to medical care, believe me, they then can take it away, then they can regulate it, sort of like the minimum wage. You know, if you endorse the concept, well, we want to regulate the minimum wage so we get it up. Well, sometimes they measure it in the other way. They won't allow the wages to go up. It's just interference in the assumption that rights are something different than they really are. We have a right to our life. We have a right to our liberty. And the other part that people have trouble understanding, and they don't want to make this assumption, is that you have to be responsible for taking care of yourself, because if you have a right to it, you don't have to worry about it. And they assume, well, there's somebody has a lot more and the government can redistribute that. So it's very neat for the people who want something for free and not have to be responsible for it to say, you have a right to it. But you don't have a right to somebody else's life. You have a right to your life and only your life and the fruits of your labor. If you get something from somebody else, if you get it from your parents or friends or a church or in a voluntary way, that's a lot different than saying that it is a right that is going to be imposed on society by a government that's going to use force. Then you've drifted away from the concept of rights. And unfortunately, in the area of medicine, it's been assumed that you have a right to medical care more so than other things. I mean, it affects almost all parts of our economy. But most people don't go around. They don't go into the car dealer and say, you know, I have a right to a car, so just give me a car. But they do believe they have a right to go to an emergency room and get anything and everything that they need rather than being responsible. So I think it's this understanding of what rights are, that they are natural and they shouldn't be adjusted by taking the rights away from somebody else. You have a right to your life. You don't have a right to anybody else's life or the products of their labor, because that once again would put the whole principle of rights on its head, and it just doesn't work in a free society. That only works in an authoritarian society.
Yes. Next, let's cover a road that we definitely don't want to take in this country. And the left for decades has been pushing for it. It didn't start with Obama and it didn't start with Hillary Clinton. We're going back way back for decades for socialized healthcare in America. And so far, the American spirit has held it at bay. Please, Dr. Paul, talk about why we should never go down the road of completely socialized health care.
Well, if you care about the quality of health care, that would be one thing. You could suggest the idea that the Constitution has something to do with it, if anybody paid attention. And you're supposed to look to the Constitution for the explicit authority on what Congress can do and what government can do. And where most of that information comes is Article 1, Section 8. It doesn't anywhere say in the Constitution that people are obligated to provide free care to somebody else and reject the notion of rights when it comes to medical care. But if one does not understand the principle of personal rights, then it's natural to have a system develop into something called socialized medicine. And this is the whole effort. They don't say, let's have socialized medicine. They say, let's have a one-party payment. Let's make it fair. Everybody should pay the same and get the same quality care. And not only is this unconstitutional and it doesn't give good quality, it actually does a lot of harm. But if they apply that to other things, it would be almost bizarre, because most people in this country aren't accepting the idea that everything should be socialized. I agree, there are some, but basically they're not saying, well, you know that everybody has a right to a house and we should have a single payer. Which means that somebody who has a big house and somebody has a little house and they need some room, that you should be able to take that from them. We know that the person that needs room can't march into somebody's house, but then they assume that the government can do this. And that's what socialized medicine is all about. And I think that we've obviously have been moving in that direction, but we don't have socialized medicine as bad as it is. With the amount of government we have, it still is radical interventionism. It's more corporatism than it is socialized. And it's just as bad because it's authoritarian. And eventually, if you don't stop it, it does move into a total socialized system. And that's what the argument is about right now, on whether the people were happy with corporatism and that they'll allow, now there's a mess, we'll march on to socialism. And right now, I think the majority of Americans say, no, we're not looking for that. But there's not too many who are saying that we should have market medicine. There's still this idea that delivering the service, medical services, can't be done in the free market. Well, if it's done in houses and cars and these sort of the thing, it's sort of like, like if you were getting cars by a single payer system and you had insurance to take care of it, Who would assume that everybody is going to use a car equally and they could have all their services paid for? But this is what's happened in what we have today in this corporatism. But right now, the corporations rule the roost, and it makes people very, very angry. But then again, everybody suffers in the long run. I mean, the the insurance companies didn't fight this. The drug companies didn't fight the system that we have. And we're marching along toward a socialized system where people have authoritarians in government that will redistribute it. And I think the lesson we should learn is it doesn't work very well. We shouldn't socialize medicine, but we should also assume that nothing should be socialized, and we should think about the concept of rights. And if that's the case, we wouldn't be going in this direction, because there's no evidence that shows that the distribution of either things like a house or a car or a telephone is better done by the government. And they say, well, the more important things like health care is so important that we have to have the government involved. But that's exactly the wrong kind of thinking, because the more scarce a resource is, the more you need the market to sort things out. So in times of war and different things, people say, well, this is a justification. We have to have wage and price controls and rationing and all these things. But there are scarcities, but scarcity should be sorted out by the marketplace. And there's no one service like medical service that should be turned over to the government and socialized, because people are going in the opposite direction. But this is a reflection of what our educational system has allowed to develop, that we can play on the sympathies and the needs of people. They need health care. But if they understood our economic policy, they would say, how is the best way to deliver health care to the maximum number of people at the best price? And if you understood the market, you would say, keep the government out of it. But Today, the mentality is that that's not possible. It's not being discussed right now. The issue of individual rights and personal liberties and the free market is not part of the debate, except for the very few, on what's going on in trying to adjust our medical care system now that most people are recognizing the failure of the current system that we have.
Yes. Now, while we're fortunate not to have socialized medicine, as you point out, we have a big mess, and it has to do with government totally dominating medicine in partnership with big industries. We basically have crony care. So, Dr. Paul, please point out why this can't work in the long run.
Well, it can't work because it invites, lobbying. The lobbyists that go then want to get their fair share. So then you have the drug companies come in, you have the insurance companies come in, you have the medical associations, the AMA gets involved. Everybody gets involved because it's not totally socialized, but it's really crony capitalism what it is. And it absorbs a lot of resources. If you look at what's happening is that a lot of money goes into medical care. But that doesn't mean there's better medical care. There was a study just recently done about the top earners in our economy right now. And about 6 out of the top 8 are involved in the medical care. And that doesn't mean they don't deserve a good living. Doctors deserve a good living and whatnot. But there's a lot of extra people involved. I mean, there are insurance providers, and there are people who deal with it in labs and things like this. So they pump money into it. It's sort of like when the government gets into the housing business and they pump money into houses, the prices go up and they overbuild houses and then there's a crash. Well, in medicine, that's what they have done. There's a lot of profits, people get upset, and then there's a lot of bureaucracy involved. And this is where we are today, and they don't realize that crony capitalism is something that Mises talked about, and this is sort of a debasement of the capitalist and free market system. And Mises predicted that it would go toward more of a fascist state rather than just a socialist state. And this is what the arguments are all about, because there's this misunderstanding, once again, what rights are and how the market works. And right now we have a system that really invites people to be very, very competitive. And then you have to watch it. You have to watch price. You have to price get controlled. So now I'm not currently practicing medicine, but I have people in my family that are. And they say that no matter where they are, if they're on their cell phone or wherever, and they write a prescription or call a prescription in, it immediately appears on a federal computer. And they monitor health care on spending, on drugs, and everything is kept in there. And then you have the bureaucrats challenging the system. It used to be, especially when I started medicine, you had records, you did. And you kept them on a chart. And if a patient wanted them, you gave them to them. If they wanted to share it with the insurance company or anybody else, they took it. But today, it's instantaneously, everything is covered. And this is a consequence of the type of medicine we have today. And privacy, even though they pretend, oh, the government's going to protect our privacy. No, it's like the same old story. They protect the government's right to come in and do anything that they want to find out how well you're practicing medicine and what your results are. And then that becomes bureaucratic. And believe me, the expenses that go into the hospitals and the labs and the doctor's office, just keeping records where they used to be able to do it with a couple people, they have to add a couple people just to keep the records in order to satisfy the government. And if not, you're in big trouble. So that's the type of system that we have, and a good practical reasons that people should reassess it.
Finally, Dr. Paul, let's talk about real solutions. They're almost completely ignored, as you pointed out. When it comes to healthcare, nobody wants to talk about it. And it's called the free market. Now, you practiced medicine at a time where the market was much, much freer than it is today. So please make the case that we need free market healthcare in America once again.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind, just on the principles of liberty, I would argue the case. Practicality, I would argue the case that if you want better services at a better price, you want the government out of it. Because prices go up for one reason or a couple reasons. One reason is that there's inflation. The government prints too much money and it has to be spent. So although maybe your bread and eggs prices haven't gone up, certain things do. You know, the price of houses can go up because the government has housing programs. But there's a lot of medical programs. So a lot of that money the government creates goes into the medical system. So there's a lot of price inflation. We have a lot of technological advances in medicine, but it doesn't lower the prices. You know, the prices should go down when you have technology. But and it happens in most things, you know, when we buy electronic gadgets, whether it's a cell phone or computers and all, prices generally go down, but not in medicine. They go up because there's a channeling of that money into that system. And then, of course, if you have government involvement, then they're going to put price controls on, and that will cause shortages. But we talk a lot about the current system and Obamacare and whatnot. But, you know, it's really rapidly advanced with government involvement since the 60s. And when I got out of medical school in the early 60s, there was no Medicare or Medicaid. And I worked in emergency rooms, and people never got turned away. And there were no people dying in the streets. There were a lot of charity hospitals. And it wasn't perfect, but it was a lot better than what happened now. It used to be that the lowest price was charged. But doctors would have to face their patient. The patient said, you know, I don't have $100 for this thing. He says, but I can. I think I can do it for less. And maybe, oh, you know, and the doctor has to look the patient in the face and say, yeah, well, you have $50. We'll do it for $50. You always charge the least amount. Now you always charge the largest amount. But although in the 60s it advanced rapidly, you know, with Medicare and Medicaid and also prescription drug programs, the whole works just is constantly expanding, going in the wrong direction. But it started a long time before this. And one a big thing happened during the progressive era. And there's some people that are aware of this, but to me it was a big thing in history, and that was the Flexner Report in 1910. And this was organized by the AMA in collaboration with the government, what was going to do. They were unhappy. The medical profession was unhappy because the people, it looked like the people might get medical care, which wasn't top-notch. There were medical schools that were superior to other medical schools, but there were some that were inferior. Some of them only had 2 years. And some of them, you know, were attuned to having minorities, blacks and other minorities, and having them get to go to medical school. And then there were medical schools that were designed to help women. And then there were a lot of alternatives. There were choices in the market, you know, alternative care, more holistic and homeopathic medicine. And the doctors didn't like it. It was competition. So they came in and showed how horrible this was. So eventually, in cahoots with the government, they closed down these hospitals. And then later on, of course, they had to use affirmative action to make up for their mistakes. But the market was handling things and training doctors, and prices were low. But it continued to advance in that direction. But the other thing that the medical profession has done is use licensing, you know, to keep their monopoly. Medicine is a monopoly. You say, oh, wouldn't that be terrible if I hadn't had my lesson? How dangerous would it be? Well, somebody might have come in and say, did you go to medical school? Where did you go to medical school? And you have your diploma up. And licensing is to keep competition out. And right now, there's a lot of things. The FDA is non-competitive. They don't want drugs to come onto the market without controls on this. There'd be too many options. Alternative care is frowned upon. Nutrition is frowned upon. So it's this control that has happened. And you would eliminate all that. You want competition is what you want. Just think, people have to remember that there's a little bit of competition in medicine today, plastic surgeries and LASIK surgery for the eyes. And guess what? Over the years, the prices did this. Everything else does this. It goes up because of the regulations, all the things I talked about. But when there's competition is what you want. And you shouldn't be fearful of the fact that libertarians believe that licensing doesn't do much good. People know how to pick services. And the one restraint on a doctor going out and advertising, which governments do all the time, they advertise and interfere with advertising, is that you can't be fraudulent. You can't say, I have the magic cure. You take this and your cancer is going to go away. I mean, that's fraud, and people have to know what the risks are. They have to be told. And people ought to realize, you know, the whole system in private in the marketplace would be the rethinking about insurance. We do not have insurance. We have prepaid medical care. We have prepaid care, and that is a disaster. You want competitive insurance policies for major problems, and yet today, you know, it is not insurance. They should never use that insurance. It should be one party interference in the medical system through the insurance. So there's a lot. People need to really study economic policy as well as the principles of individual liberty and personal rights. And believe me, medical care, you know, could improve dramatically. But if we keep moving with more government, let's just hope that the discussion going on today will move us in another direction where people have private choices and there's more competition. Competition drives prices down. Just look at, you know, like I mentioned, the electronic products. If it's truly a market, prices go down. There's competition. That's what we need. That means we need to restore an interest and a conviction that liberty works, and it will work in medicine, and it is needed very badly because the government has really messed up our medical care system. And Chris, I want to thank you for being with us today and bringing us this program.
Thank you very much, Dr. Paul.
And I want to thank our viewers today for joining us to this Liberty Report, and hopefully you'll be back soon.